So far, so good. Okay, let's talk about the rest of the semester. There's the calendar. Except it doesn't want me to take a picture of it, all right? So there's the calendar. Okay, the 8th is this week. We will have a class on the 8th, and there are one or two guest speakers. One is concerned that he may not be able to come, which is too bad, but he emailed me actually yesterday and said that there's a big meeting that he should go to and he's trying to get out of it, da-da-da-da. So, you may only have one speaker, in which case we'll just continue on and you can use that for help, as a help time. Use class as a help time. The following week, I am actually flying to North Carolina the night of the 8th. And I won't be back the 12th or the 13th. I'm taking a personal day because my granddaughter's going to be in the hospital. So I'm flying back on the Wednesday, the 14th. I will be here on the 15th. The 15th is the last day of classes, so that's when your homework is due. I will take a few things after the 15th, but I don't want a mountain of work after the 15th, which doesn't mean you can't send it to me. Send me anything you have. But if you send me a mountain of work after the 15th, I'm going to use the same conscientious attitude that you did, and I will collect them when I get ready. Okay, so I will correct them, but it will be over Christmas break. You'll get the grade you deserve, and then I can change the grade. Okay, but if a pile of work comes in after the 15th, I don't have time to correct it between when I've got to pass in grades. Okay? So if a pile of work comes in after the 15th, I will hold it. I will do it eventually, but I will not do it prior to giving you a grade. I won't have time. So I am posting your final tomorrow. Usually I give people a week. Because I'm going to be away and the week falls in when I'm going to be away, I basically want to make sure you have it, so you're going to really have 2 weeks to do the final, or close to 2 weeks, because I will post the final tomorrow. Okay, I've already posted the status sheet, which you have to pass in with the final, and you can pass it in ahead of time, but if something changes, you have to revise it and send me a revised version of the status sheet. But the status sheet is your insurance and my insurance, and we've got everything. Because if you thought you sent something to me and I never got it, then you mark on the status sheet that you sent it. I look in my grade book and I don't see it. I will get back to you and say, I don't have that. Please send it back to me. Okay? And I can make a mistake and misfile it. Yes, last night I found something that I had filed under somebody and it should have been under somebody else. Okay, I had just moved it under the wrong person when I was looking for it. So I can make mistakes, you can make mistakes. The status sheet is to catch those mistakes. Our technology sometimes just doesn't send an email. Or my server or whatever can refuse it, whatever. So anyway, the status sheet is a requirement, and if I don't have the status sheet, I don't correct the final. It's that important to me. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, the status sheet is part of the final. And if I don't get that part of the final, then I don't do the rest of the final. Okay, so the status sheet is an absolute requirement. It is out there already. I will post your final tomorrow. Your final is due on the 20th. And I believe it's 12:45. I will write it on the final. But one class is due at 10, and the other one's due at 12:45, and I make them both whatever the latest date is. So they're due on Tuesday by 12:45. That means, seriously, that I start deducting points at 12:46, okay? Because it has to be in by the final. Which doesn't mean you have to wait and send it to me that morning. You can actually send it to me a whole day ahead of time, or maybe 2 days ahead of time, okay? So you're going to have 2 weeks to do it. Get it to me. You know, don't wait until you're pressured to get it in on time. Actually do it ahead of time a little bit, okay? So your grades are due, your final is due in on the 20th. Okay? And then I get to calculate grades. Okay? After the 20th, I will not, she claims. I claim I will not take anything. If somebody pleads a wonderful case, I might possibly. But you better have a really good sob story, okay? Because I, on the whole, am not going to take anything after the 20th because I've got to start correcting and passing in grades, okay? My grades are due. So that's the status. That's where we stand. I will be here on the 8th. I will be here on the 15th. And that's it, because I don't come in during final week because you're not here during final week. It's a take-home final. I'm always available via email, but I'm not available in person except the 8th. I will be here, and the 15th I will be here. Okay. Now, Eric is running open labs next week, which is what I always do the last week of the semester. It's just I'm usually there, and I'm not going to be here on the 13th. So he's going to run open labs on both the 13th and the 15th from 9:30 to 3. Okay? And Monday you can do some too, right, for the Monday class. So he'll be here from, what, 11 to 2 or something on Monday? Okay, so he'll be here also on Monday. So that means this room is open. Help is available. Come in and get caught up. You can come on the Tuesday the 13th or Thursday the 15th, and you can stay from 9:30 to 3 and just work in here, okay? So come and get the work done, and he'll be here also Monday the 12th, and I will post the hours. He and I got to talk them through, and I forgot to do it. So we will post the hours, but he'll be here on the 12th, the 13th, and the 15th. I'll be here on the 15th. This room will be open, and it will be lab. Okay?
Do you know when we actually get our grades?
No. The grades are due by me on the 29th. My goal is to have them done before Christmas. We'll see. They have to be in, technically, you're supposed to get them in within 3 days, which is the 23rd. But they're actually, the final grades are due to the 29th, and I have a bad reputation around here, that I tend to be closer to the 29th than the 23rd. Part of that is because I'm a sucker and I let people pass in things late. So you can't complain too much or I won't take any late assignments from you. Okay, so that means you can't complain too much because I don't think there's hardly anybody that doesn't owe me something. All right, so you can't complain too much. And anyway, I've been around too long, they can't fire me, so don't bother. Anyway, questions? Yeah?
So normally we come in at a scheduled time during finals week. We don't have to do that for this class?
No, never. My finals are online because this is a student option course. So there are some members of this class that you've never seen. Because this is a student option course, which means that they have the option to never show up. Okay? So because it's a student option class, I mean, I've had people from out of state take this class. I don't think I have anybody this semester that's not in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. But I had somebody from Florida last semester that was taking the course. Okay? So anyway, student option means you do not have to be here. Okay, you can take this course entirely online. So therefore, the final is online because it really, you know, it wouldn't be fair to have some of you have to sit and take it and the others get a week to take it. So I, for the last 15 years, I've given strictly online finals. Okay. They're open notes, they're open book, they just, you can't, you have to do your own work. You're on your own to do the final. But it's open notes, open book. You can use open web. You can use all the resources that you want. But it just has to be your work, not somebody else's.
As far as, I kind of spaced out.
You mean while I was talking,
no,
you spaced out?
When you were saying about the status sheet. Do we have to submit, is that a requirement?
Absolutely a requirement. I will not correct your final unless the status sheet is with it. As far as I'm concerned, it's part of the final.
I've had lost like all my programs when I left the year on my external. Like all the stuff that.
Okay, but you go. What about my emails?
Yeah.
You can go through my emails and go through that and find out what was sent back and everything via the emails. I mean, one of the things, I mean, and you should know what ones you did. I kind of remember that, oh, I did this, oh, I didn't do this, okay? But if you go through my emails, I think you'll find them, as long as you have the emails.
It's a needle in a haystack.
Right.
Tons.
right.
But.
Yes. Yes, there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, and I looked at them, was doing something this weekend, and there were 125 emails from them. I said, wow. And they all appeared to have been answered, so apparently I answered the 125 emails. Okay, so yes, that person will have a lot to go through. Okay, any other questions? Okay, what I'm going to do is spend a few minutes looking at ALICE, which is an extra credit thing that you can do if you want extra credit. And then I'm going to give you the rest of the time to work on that database that we started last time. Okay? So, we're going to bring up ALICE and just look at that and play with it for a few minutes. And then you can start working on the database. And the people that had finished the database assignment can stay working on ALICE and earn some extra credit. I will post the assignment, the extra credit assignment, tomorrow, or tonight. Notice that there are, as there is a makeup quiz out there, so if you missed one of the quizzes, or you got a lousy grade in one of the quizzes, the makeup quiz has been posted, and you can do the makeup quiz. Okay? All right. If you go under CIS software and you bring up ALICE. ALICE is a free download from Carnegie Mellon. If you look at it, you can download it for free and play with it. The version that I'm using is 2.0, and in fact, that is the version that I would like you to use if you're going for the extra credit. There is a later version, but it isn't as good at teaching programming as the older version is. So I want you to use the older version. Okay. So this is ALICE, and it's a programming tool that I have used with K-12, and it's actually taught in a bunch of colleges too, because it kind of teaches you how to program. Okay, so what we're going to do here is, once you bring up ALICE, notice it says here add objects. So when you click on add objects, it lets you take and put some objects into this background that it has. And at the beginning, there was something that apparently I skipped over that lets you change the background, and you can get snow, and you can get all those kinds of things. Okay?
Whatever
reason, my ALICE isn't coming up. Okay. Eric, help. His ALICE isn't coming up. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
This is kind of glitchy.
So. Okay, CIS software, and then ALICE. Hopefully. And templates is the thing that you can click on, since I went back in. Templates lets you click click on and decide the background. So I can have snow, dirt, space, water, sand, or grass as my background. Okay, so I'm going to go with snow because I like penguins. Okay, so I'm going to say snow and I'm going to open it. Okay. Then I'm going to click on add objects. And I'm going to click on animals. And I'm going to go find the penguin and put a penguin up here. You can double click on the penguin and say add it, and that will also add it in. So I have two penguins up there. Okay, so I've got two penguins sitting up there. So now I've got my penguins, and if I want something else, I can put it up there as well. So if I decide I'd like to have a rabbit, there's my rabbit. Okay, so I've got a bunch of objects sitting up there. Okay. So, this is also using the terminology of object-oriented programming in that these are called objects. Okay, and I am putting up objects of a certain class. Where did I find them? At the beginning it says add objects. When you see the template?
I added the template.
Okay, but then once you've added the template, it should, don't bother to sit down, Eric. there is something you can click on that says add objects. It's right down here at the corner when you first bring up the template.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So once you get a few objects added, and it doesn't matter what objects they are, you click on Done, and now I've got my objects there. Now notice what happens when I put up the three objects here and the three objects. And there's a penguin and penguin two, because I put both of them up, and there's a bunny. Okay, so those are my objects. If I click on one of them, notice I have all of those parts. So I can have the parts move, or I can have the whole penguin move. And I'm just going to have the whole penguin move. But if I want to, I can click on the parts and make the parts move as well. Okay, so now I am going to, I've got my three there, and I'm going to click on penguin. And it now shows all the things that the penguin can do. Okay, so these are things that the penguin can do, and these are called methods. Okay, so the methods that a penguin can do. I can also create a new method, which we will look at either today or Thursday. We're going to keep going with this a little bit on Thursday. So, and also I should have said there are examples out there of using Alice if you want to do the extra credit, and there's also a PowerPoint that goes through and explains Alice that I did. So either of those can be used too to get more if you want to get the extra credit. So now what I've got is I've got when the world starts, do will my first method. So that's kind of like in Visual Basic where we have, you know, something that we can put in the housekeeping part that we want it to do at the beginning. So we can set it up and it says, when the world starts, meaning when I start to play it, I'm going to do the world my first method. And then they show you world my first method. There it is. So anything under here will be done. Okay, so I'm going to now make my world. And I am going to say I want to make the wings flap, and I'll have the wings flap two times. And then I will have jump, and I'm going to jump twice. And then I'm going to glide. And then I think I'd like to see Penguin 2 do something. So I'm going to click on Penguin 2. So that was Penguin. And I was making Penguin do all of those things. And now I'm going to click on Penguin 2. And I'm going to say, okay, Penguin 2, I want to jump 2 times, or let's say other. Jump other times, and it lets me pick something. So I'm going to pick 5. So Penguin's going to jump 5 times, and then it's going to turn its head to the right, and then it is going to turn its head back to the left, and then it's going to glide also. And now I'm going to look at Bunny. And Bunny, I hope, has some way of hopping. So I'll click on Bunny. And Bunny can roll, so I'll have Bunny roll to the right 5 revolutions. And I'll have Bunny say goodbye. And I will have Bunny resized to be twice as big. Okay, so I've basically now written a little program of all those instructions. And so now I can run this program by clicking play. And I could have intermixed those. I was lazy. And I had the penguin and then the other penguin and then the bunny, but I could have intermixed them as much as I wanted. So I'm saying play, and there they are. Just written a little program. Okay? So, that's how I can do things. I can also put in some if statements. So I'm going to save this world, and I'm going to save it on my F drive as first. And it will save with... Okay, so now if I do open world and I go to my F drive, which is I think I say where I saved it, there it is, first, and it has an A2W extension. Okay, so A2W is the extension that you use when you save it, or Alice 2 World or something like that. Okay, it's A2W. Okay, out on my website, I have under examples, I have balls bounce examples. So download that and unzip them. There's a bunch of examples in the balls bounce examples. So I'm going to show you how to do one more thing, and then let you either play with this if the database is done, or play with the database, or whichever. Okay? So I'm going to say file open world. And I am going to choose under balls bounce the one that has an if in it. So it says balls bounce if.a2w. And that's the one that I'm going to choose. And I've got three balls. So, this is what they do. It's very exciting. They go up in the air and come back down. Well, that one came down and bounced, and then they come back down. So, it's a very exciting one, okay? That's what they do. And if I want to restart that, they all go up, one of them bounces, and then they all go down. And it's a different one that bounces each time. Or not the different one, it's chosen by a random number. The first time was the middle one, the last two times it was the first one. Okay, so now I'm going to stop. Okay, so I'm going to go through a few concepts here, and you can try some of them and not try some of them. When the world starts, I do world my first method. And this is, it opens up with world my first method there. Now, notice this create new method. With create new method, I can make up a method. So I can click on create new method, and it asks me to give it a name. And I give it a name. Okay? Well, I did that three times. I created a new method and I called it startup. Then I created a new method and I called it wrap up. And then I created a new method and I called it process. So I did that three times. I said create new method. And, you know, you can add something to this. You can create a new method and just try it out yourself. But I've got now four different methods there. Okay, I've got four different methods. So once I have created a method, it just sits over here with the word edit next to it. And if I click on edit, that means that I can put something inside it. So if I click on the edit next to startup, then I can put some code over there. Now notice when I did this, I had world up there highlighted. So these are kind of my main line is the world. And I'm in the world, I'm doing three things. And we have talked about that you have a startup for a program that you do just once at the beginning. And you have a wrap-up for a program that you do at the end just once. And then you have processing. Okay, so I set this up so that I will first do the startup. That will be done once. Then I'll do process. And then I'll do wrap-up. Okay? So, if I click on edit... Okay, so I made a new world and I drag it over here. So let's say I say create a new method and I call it whatever. And now I've got whatever there. And if I want to do whatever, I come back here to the world and I can drag whatever right over there. So I made whatever. Now whatever has nothing in it. So whatever's going to do nothing. But I've got it over there. Okay. So I created a new method called edit whatever. And then I went back to the world my first method. And I dragged it over. And it's pretty worthless. So I'm going to not have it there.
So if I right-click on this and say delete, it goes away. If I right-click on this, it doesn't let me delete, so it sits over there, but it's not doing any harm. There's got to be a way to make those go away, and I don't remember. Do you?
I don't
know. So, World Startup. I clicked on Edit, and I said, okay, what do I want to do with Startup? I want to move all of the balls. And when I created the objects, here are my three balls. I want to move all of the balls up 6 meters. So to do that, I first brought them over here, and toy ball one I clicked on, and I dragged over toy ball one, move, and then I said up, and I said other, and I said 6 meters. So that's how I did it. I just clicked on toy ball one. I then picked the move, dragged it over, and said toy ball one will move. It let me choose up, and I chose 6 meters, so that it would go up 6 meters. And again, I'm going to get rid of the one that I added in there because it messes up my beautiful thing. So, my startup is going to put all the balls up in the air. And to get the second one, I come down and I click on tennis ball object and I move the tennis ball. And then I click on the volleyball object and I move the volleyball. So I just keep going through the objects and moving them up. What do you think wrap up does? If I go back to World My First Method, wrap up is going to do, what do you think? I click on World and I say I want to edit wrap up. And it moves them down 6 meters. So startup moves them up 6 meters, wrap up moves them down 6 meters. Okay, so I go up and then I go down. Okay, so I again clicked on toy ball and I dragged toy ball move and I picked down and I picked other so I could have 6 meters. And then I clicked on the tennis ball and I dragged it, its move, I dragged its move over and I kept going like that. Okay. Now if I go back to World and My First Method, I've got process, and we haven't looked at process. Okay, start up, put them all up in the air. Wrap up, put them all down. So now we're going to look at process. So if I click on edit next to process, it will show me what I put in there. And there it is. So, and again, if you decide you want to do this, I strongly suggest you look at the PowerPoint that's out there, too. But what I did, first of all, is I set a new variable. So that's like declaring something. I said to create a new variable. And I clicked on that, and it lets me pick, and I want a number. And so the variable I created was which ball. So when it came up and I said create a new variable, I typed which ball up there. You want to create another variable, you can type another name. But I typed which ball. And then notice it had the default value of 1 and it defaulted to be a number. I was happy with that. I wanted a number and it made it a default value of 1. So I was happy with that. So I said okay. So I made a variable. And the way I did that again is I clicked on create new variable. And when I clicked on it, I gave it a name and said okay. Then
I wanted to set new ball, which ball rather, to a random number. And I wanted the random number to be between 0 and 3.
So how did I do that? Well, finding a random number is a function. So I'm clicking on function. And then I took and I dragged which ball down. So there it is. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to repeat it. So there's which ball. And I clicked on set value. And I just set it to a default of 1. So I set it to a default of 1. And I'm going to fix that up in a minute. But right now I set it to a default of 1. Then I came over under functions. And I looked for the word random. And I chose random number. So I replaced 1 with random number. I dragged random number over there and replaced 1 with a random number. And then notice right up there, I've got minimum 0, here I have more. I'm going to click on that. So I'm clicking on the arrow next to more, and it lets me pick minimum. So I pick minimum 0. And then I click on the arrow next to more, and I pick maximum. And it doesn't have a 3, so I click on other, and I choose 3. So I've just recreated that line. Okay? And I did it by dragging down which ball, setting the value to 1, coming over here and dragging random number over to replace the 1, and then clicking on the mores to get the 0 through 3. So now, I'm going to get rid of the one I just created because it's the same as the one that I already had. Okay? Now I want to test. And I'm going to say, if which ball is less than or equal to 1, then I want toy ball 1 to bounce. If which ball is less than or equal to 2, else I want the tennis ball to bounce. Otherwise, I want the volleyball to bounce. So to do that, if you notice down at the bottom, there's an if statement. And I can drag the if statement up. Okay? So I'm going to recreate that. I'm going to drag the if statement up. And I've got if true. Okay. Now, it puts in the if and the else. If I decide I don't want to do the else, I just leave the do nothing sitting there. Okay. So what do I want to do? I want to test which ball. So I'm going to grab which ball and take it down and replace the true. And I'm going to say, if which ball is less than... What did I say? Less than or equal to. There it is. If it's less than or equal to 1, that's what I had. So I dragged it over and I picked if the less than or equal to 1. And if it is less than or equal to 1, then I want to make toy ball. So I go back over to methods. And I pick toy ball, and toy ball has a bounce. And I didn't mention how I created that, but I will in a minute. You do create new method, and what I did, and we'll look at it after I finish talking about the if, what I did in there was make the ball go down and then come back up again. So bounce meant it was already up, so I made it go down and come back up. So I just have 2 commands there, and we'll look at that. So I picked and I said, I want to have toy ball do its bounce function. And so I put the toy ball 1 bounce in there. And then I wanted another if statement. And if you look down, my if statement that I want next is if it's less than or equal to 2. So I'm taking that if else, and I'm dragging it up to where do nothing is, because I want else to an if. So I drag it up there, I pick true. When I get it up there, I take which ball, and I drag it down on top of true, and I say less than or equal to 2. And if it's less than or equal to 2, sure, save. It also nags you to save if you go too long. I want a tennis ball to bounce, so I click on tennis ball up here, and I drag over tennis ball bounce. And else I want volleyball to bounce, so I click on volleyball, and I drag that over. So now, actually, I've got one if set of if statements above another set of if statements. And notice how nicely it indents everything for you and sets it up for you. It really does a nice job. So now, since I really only wanted to do it once, but I can do it twice, I can leave it there and it will do it twice. So now I'm going to go back and look at what I've got inside of bounce, because I made those at the beginning and I forgot to mention them. If I click on volleyball and I say create new method and name it bounce, that's what happens. Then I say edit bounce, and when I say edit bounce, I said, okay, move down 6 meters. And then move up 6 meters. So I drag the move over, and I said move down 6 meters, and then I drag the move over again, and said this time I want to go up 6 meters. And it will then do the bounce. Okay. So now I've got it that it will bounce twice. And if I want to, I have to make a bounce for each ball. So I'm going to delete those last two that I put in. So for each ball, I make a bounce. So there's bounce for the volleyball. There's bounce for the tennis ball, which says exactly the same thing if I look at it. Only this time, it is the tennis ball that's moving. And there's bounce for the toy ball. And if I say bounce and edit it, that's the toy ball moving. Okay. So now if I play this, they all go up. That's start up. That's the ball that bounced. And then they come down. Okay. And if I play again by hitting restart, they all go up. And then that one bounces. And then they all go down. Okay. So that's just a kind of fun little toy to play with. And I will post an extra credit assignment. But basically it's going to say if you do an if statement and we're going to look at a loop next time, you can have extra credit. I want you to try both different levels of extra credit depending on how much you try. So, now we're going to stop. You are going to work on the database, or if you're done with the queries on the database, or if you're done with that, you can play with Alice. So you've got a half an hour to work on those 5 queries.
If we don't finish it,
yeah, it's homework eventually. Eventually, you've got to pass it in, but most of you seem to have finished the setup last time, so now you're working on the 5 queries. And if you go to
play with Alice, feel free, then it becomes homework. Okay. So, get to work on either Alice or the database.
Yeah.
And again, I've got PowerPoint out there on Alice, and I've got examples out there on Alice, and what are you looking for those? Yeah. Yeah, you need to ask, you're missing donation, who gave the donation. So it should be drive number and then the person who gave it.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if I've got...
Come on, come on, come on. Was the donation, right?
Yeah.
The donation needs to have donor ID, drive number, and date.
All right, I was going across that way.
No, right. This is the donor table, and it has those three things, and that's the primary key.
Okay.
This is the donation table. It's got four things. These three together make the primary key. And drive table has drive number as the primary key.
So when I'm building a second table, do I have to manually put in the donor ID? Or if I link that, it should show up?
No. You have to manually put it in when you build in the table. The linking is for when you come to do queries.
All right, I was trying to do the linking together.
No. And in fact, what you want to do, however, is make these the same type and size. And size, that would be a Z.
Right.
And you want to make these two the same type and size. Okay? Then you set them up, and yes, you're responsible for putting all the data in. Where the linking kicks in is when you start doing the queries. And as I said, tomorrow you'll have some, Thursday rather, you'll have a little bit more time to work on this if you don't get it done. Because I think we just got one speaker coming and he'll be a half an hour probably. Yeah. Not incorrect as much as overly cumbersome, because you've got all the you build it on mine, which isn't wrong, and you'll get it work fine. But you added to mine, so now you've got seven tables there instead of the three. So basically, you just have to ignore those.
Okay.
So donor table, donation, and drive. And I think if you click on that, you may close it up. Yes, donation table drive. So here's your donation table. It does close up. Drive number, drive name, drive hold.
That's right.
And this one is drive ID. Yep, that's what it's right. All right, then click on the view. Click on the view. Uh-huh. Now you've got the three keys. So now let's see. The donor ID is a number. And it is a long integer. So now let's go over to the donor table. To that view. Right. And it should be a number and a long integer too.
because since you're linking them, they want to be the same type. Okay, so that's fine. And now let's go back to the donation table and look at the drive number. The drive number is the number, a long integer. So now come over here to drive and do the view. Should be a number, so that's okay. That one's okay. But they should be the same type and the same basic length. Okay? Once you've got the query, the databases done, then you come down and you set up a query. And that first query is going to involve taking any tools or tables. But you should make sure there are two tables that link. In other words, don't choose the donor table and the drive table because they don't link. The donor table and the drive table do not link to each other. So one of the tables you choose should be the donation table, because the donation table links to both of them. Okay, but the donor table and the drive table only link through the donation table. They do not link directly to each other because they don't have anything in common. Yes, no, maybe? Can anybody hear me? Not really. Okay. That was worth saying, though. So catch it on the tape if you didn't catch it in person. Do not link the donor table and the drive table when I say link two tables. I said use two tables that relate. Donor and drive do not relate because they have nothing in common. Okay. Donor links with donation, drive links with donation. But donor and drive do not link together because they have nothing in common. So you want to pick two of those tables, either donor and donation or drive and donation. And then they have two things in an AND relationship. You want two things on the AND line. And two things in an OR relationship, one on the AND and one on the OR. What's called the criteria. I'll be here from 2 to 3 today. I have a meeting at 3, and then I will stop back after I have that meeting. the rest of you have already named. On the third one, I asked you to tell me certain fields I wanted to see. So you have to figure out what tables you have to bring up to see those fields. And the fourth one is the same, except I added a criteria. The fifth one is one thing has to be true and either of two others. And we've talked a lot about that in a bunch of things, and I promise you it's on the final. And one thing that has to be true and either of two others. I think it's on the final. Maybe I didn't promise you that, but I think it is. Without the primary keys, it should have let you. Basically, I get rid of it and try and make it. observation again. I think that's the best thing to do.
Figure that table out.
Yeah. And now just make a new donation table. And the deal is that you have to have one of those three things unique. So the donor ID has to match a donor ID over here. The drive number has to match a drive number over there. The date can be any date. And one of the three things has to be unique. So it can be the same donor in the same drive, but it would have to be a different date in that case.
Okay.
One of the three things has to be different. All three can be different, but at least one of the three, I should say, has to be different. The other thing I'm going to nag you about is if I sent something back to you and you didn't fix it, you do get partial credit, but you lose a lot. So I would fix it and send it back to me so that you can get full credit. Okay, because if a lot is missing, then you only get, I give you partial credit for it. But I don't, every assignment counts either 3 or 4 points. A couple of them count 2, but most of them count 3 or 4 points. So if you're missing 3 assignments, you've basically dropped a grade. Okay? So you really need to try to get them all in, or most of them in. Okay? Because if you're missing, if each one counts 3 or 4 points, then if you're missing 3 assignments, you basically are dropping a grade for every 3 assignments. So I am trying to coerce you into getting into production. Because I don't have anything to do for the next few days except correct.